Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of From No Crypto to No Crypto. I'm your host, the crypto coach, Blockchain Wayne. Today, we're joined by Joseph Rebin with Mandala Exchange. Joe, thanks for joining us today.
Pleasure, Wayne. Good to see you again.
Absolutely. Definitely a pleasure. Great to catch up. A lot to catch up on, man, since the last time we've talked. So definitely want to jump into that. But there's probably a lot of new people here that may not know who you are, what you guys do. So tell everybody a little bit about yourself and your background.
Sure. I have a pretty diverse background in crypto, really. Actually started as a trader, in the early days of crypto, 2014, 2015 era, and morphed that into a full-scale law firm out of Denver, Colorado, which is, of course, still active. Formed my own firm in 2015, and I've worked with probably 90 to 100 projects globally at this point in the crypto space, all the way from ground up through ICO and some even public sale type and sell-off type ventures. So very active in that, in the startup and business law arena. And then in 2019, Mandala Exchange, which was one of my clients, they were on the precipice of either going under or continuing as a project. So myself and some of the contractors that were hired to work on the original exchange decided to take the project over, move it forward. And, 4.5 years later, here we are. We've been through quite a bit in terms of, and we're going to talk about that a little bit today, in terms of the morphing of our metamorphosis, I should say, of our exchange, first with Binance Cloud, now on our own 2 feet and standing tall in this bull run. But yeah, now I've been the CEO, proudly been the CEO of Mandala Exchange since late 2019, early 2020, and here we are.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely been a story of evolving and changing, and I guess you could say adapting, right? Because things have changed. You're right. That I remember that way back in the early days where someone prior was running the project, and you guys took it over and running on Binance Cloud. And in Binance Cloud, that wasn't just Binance Cloud said, "Hey, we're not doing business with Mandala." Binance Cloud pretty much effectively shut down. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, they sunset their cloud exchange platform. We were the first one to launch in 2020, actually in December of 2020, first centralized exchange. And then they shut down last year. So we had to look for, just so not to disenfranchise our 70,000 registered users, we had to look for a new platform to build on, which we did, figured it out with our internal and some external development teams and, built up a stronger and better exchange today, which we're here to talk about.
Yeah, so that's definitely what we want to jump into. But what has it been like, navigating? Obviously, centralized exchange seems like we're getting the most scrutiny, especially lately, right? What we saw happen in the 22 between FTX and others. And you being on the legal side, I know you're definitely, really honing in on making sure, the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed. So what has that landscape been like around that time that you guys see you were transitioning from Binance Cloud? There was, been a lot of scrutiny put on centralized exchanges as well.
Sure. Ask me 5 minutes ago and they ask me in 5 minutes. It'll change. Fortunately or unfortunately, that's kind of the way it is, right? It's been enforcement by regulation in the U.S., which we've tactically avoided since we launched. And, we've always tried to plan to enter the U.S. arena, but right now it's molten. You can't touch it. You can't navigate it because there's no way to navigate it. But even on a global scale, you're right. Since 2019, 2020, the regulatory landscape has changed drastically. With MiCA being implemented this year and the fifth AML directive in combination with that, that's been adopted by, I think, 190 countries, maybe 170, but basically a global adoption of those regulations. And, a new standard to follow for centralized exchanges, which didn't exist previously. And we've had to conform somewhat as a fully compliant exchange, which I'm very proud to say has never been in any regulatory trouble in any country over our 4.5 year history, which is, great. I don't know if a lot of exchanges can say that, really, because of all the high profile, of course, cases that we've seen, but even lower profile cases that have kind of been, swept under the rug and not really well known. As an attorney, yes, I've definitely, a regulatory attorney to boot, kept my finger on the pulse of that and made sure that we've always been compliant, along with Zach, our security, our CTO, our chief technology officer, who also functions in a dual role as our compliance officer along with myself. So yeah, we've always had to keep our finger on the pulse and really check weekly, if not monthly, to see if different countries and regions are changing their regulatory laws, changing their compliance, policies. And it's been quite a journey. It's not easy. And for projects launching now, I don't care if you're a centralized exchange, meme token, NFT project, whatever, decentralized exchange. One of the first things I'll recommend, and this is not a shill for myself because there's plenty of knowledgeable attorneys out there at this point, make sure you have a strong legal team when you're launching so you don't, accidentally step in the bucket, so to speak, and find yourself in hot water later on. So it changes all the time and it's not easy to navigate, especially if you're not, fluent in these nuanced laws.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's also been a lot of heat for centralized exchanges in terms of what's happened, right? And when you look at centralized exchanges, they're still a necessity. Like you need to be able to have that platform to be able to go in and buy. And yes, there's decentralized exchanges. I'm sure you're familiar with a lot of them as well. But they don't do everything. They don't allow you to do all the things that you would want to do in terms of, whether it's buying and selling, trading, buying and holding, right? So you need that vehicle, and I think they're still the best avenue for someone, and definitely probably the lowest cost too, to go in to buy an asset. And if I want to trade it, I can trade it on there. But if I want to withdraw it to my own wallet, I can do that. And it's usually a lot more efficient, a lot more user friendly to someone than trying to say buy on a decentralized exchange or go straight through a credit card portal to buy, just buy something with a credit card to send to their wallet.
There's still a big learning curve, right? And I think centralized
Oh,
and
absolutely.
decentralized, as we all do, we know that they're both necessities in this industry because there's different levels of traders, right? You and I have been doing this for a decade and we understand how to use decentralized exchanges like the back of our hands. That being said, I'm sure you've typed in a wrong number before and lost a transaction. I have. It happens, right? To the best of us. It happens to the most experienced traders. We don't want that for people that are first coming into the industry, right? And that's where I think centralized exchanges are a
Absolutely.
necessity. You don't want to onboard your person that's used to trading maybe on Fidelity or, even Uphold or something like that, and they're coming over to the world of a crypto exchange. Maybe they type in the wrong address. Maybe they don't understand a native token blockchain from an ERC20 blockchain. Maybe that's something that they don't know how to do, and they put in the wrong chain. If you're on a centralized exchange, there's a very good chance you can recover that transaction or at least help them out and get some kind of deposit credit, something like along those lines. If you're on a decentralized exchange, well, user error, too bad, you lost your funds, right? People make mistakes like that all the time. Also, there's some fiat on and off ramp issues with decentralized exchanges that are being worked on and by some very creative, very good development teams, but they're not quite there yet. And I think just for overall ease of use, you're right. Decentralized exchanges aren't there yet, and they're not as user-friendly as centralized exchanges. Will they be someday? Sure. And what will come along with that, which I've been talking about for the last year and a half, and some people listen, some don't. I was saying the next 18 to 24 months, this is late 22, early 23, there will be a crackdown on decentralized exchanges, mixers, and NFT type projects because they're looked at as, different as equivalent to either securities, depending on what's launched, or they're going to be under commodities regulation. And guess what? They are now, right? So there's going to be a time where even if you're using decentralized exchanges, you're going to KYC, you're going to have AML procedures, and they're already being implemented, right? So it's one of those things, these two need to function in tandem. Whether you want to trade peer-to-peer, trade with an AMM, automated market maker, or trade against your standard market maker and trade on an exchange like your typical stock market type trading. There's something for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And user experience is key. I think you nailed it, right? A lot of new people that are gonna be coming into the space when they go into an exchange, they really want that experience to be like a Fidelity or an E-Trade or any of these other brokerages they're used to using. So, and that's really what I found when I first jumped into exchanges was the ones that people gravitated the most were the easiest to use, or at least had that familiarity where okay, I know what I'm getting into. If I've been on a brokerage platform before, I can navigate through an exchange.
And I think that there's something to be said for that too. A lot of us who've been in the space for a long time like to find those speculative 50x, 100x rocket ship little tokens, meme tokens, and find a community and track it and see when it's getting volume and jump in and jump out. But for your average trader, it's looking to go pick up some Bitcoin, some Ethereum, some XRP, some Cardano, like your top five, top 10 tokens. A centralized exchange is still the way to do it. Like you said, fees are low. Transactions are easy. And then if you want to withdraw to like your, you know, your shiny new Ledger or Nano, you know, your Ledger Nano or your Trezor or whatever it is, you know, it's easy. Just pop it in, withdraw one step, super easy, done. So it's one of those things where they're both necessary and they'll both evolve side by side.
Yeah, definitely see that coming. But yeah, the earlier you can get into a token, the harder it is to get it right. And that's why you have that progression. And eventually, even those projects that may launch on a decentralized exchange, they eventually want to get listed on centralized exchanges because they realize that's where the people are, that's where the masses are. Right. So let's talk about usability, right? I mean, you guys focus on creating a user experience that's simplified. And I know your transition from the sunsetting of Binance Cloud to where you are now has been kind of a rocky one. And but you guys just recently put in a lot of work. Last week we wanted to do this interview and you were pretty much exhausted, right, from all the work and launching the new platform. So let's tell everybody about, you know, what can I expect if they go to Mandala's exchange? What are some of the features and benefits they're going to see from using that?
Sure. And let's first talk about the experience of going through a major exchange and platform upgrade. We've done it a few times, so it's been different every time, right? First, of course, working with the Binance Cloud team, and then, of course, working on our own. When you work on your own, it's really 16 to 18 hour days for as long as it takes to get it up. It's reviewing hundreds of thousands of transactions, making sure all the numbers match so you can map over a whole site to a new platform. It's making sure that the user experience is simplified as much as possible and going through every little bug report and every little user request from one platform upgrade to the next and seeing what you can and can't do and prioritizing, right? So that being said, big shout out to our team. They did a wonderful job, every last man and woman on the team, to get it done, and I appreciate all you guys. Now, in terms of the new platform, new usability, let's first focus on the new features that we had. Right. When we were with Binance Cloud, you guys may know we were basically a spot exchange. Right. Then we left. We integrated margin pairs, which we obviously still have. But now in this release of our exchange, we've integrated a lot more features. We now have rewards earning for different tokens. We're starting with the MDX token. Basically, it's very easy. You hold your MDX balance in your wallet and you don't have to do anything with it. You just enable rewards on your account and you get a daily distribution from rewards pools. Very simple. We've also integrated futures, which is big. Now we have up to 100x leverage on starting with 25 futures pairs, and we are going to build that out as we go. We have that option. We have our fiat on-ramp partnered with Mercurio, which is a very, you know, very big provider in the industry, very safe, secure. They transact in a number of different fiat currencies, and we have the on-ramp good and going. We are also working on our off-ramp. We will have that released at some point here. We have an OTC desk where larger traders can transact for a, you know, slightly higher fee than the spot trading, of course, but you're getting large chunk transactions instantly or nearly instantly from one token to another. And that is all on exchange. So that makes it very easy for bigger retail or institutional type traders to come on the exchange and participate. We also have other features such as our referrals. We are doing a 40% across the board referral for our first couple months of the exchange, which means anybody you bring in that makes a deposit and starts trading, you're going to get 40% of those referral fees. That can be sizable if you bring in a bunch of people and you earn on that, right? So obviously bring your friends, bring your family, bring people to trade on the exchange. And then we're going to also do a lot of trading competitions along with that as well. So, you know, there's a lot more usability, a lot more features that have been integrated to the exchange for the retail user. Along with that, we're going to also be adding more utility to our Mandala token. Obviously, with the earning of rewards, it's a big one. Everyone loves to earn stuff for free just for buying and holding a token. And we're going to be implementing some governance protocols to our token as well for our bigger holders and our bigger users, where we're going to give them a little bit of freedom to vote on certain proposals for the exchange, certain additions to the exchange, whether it's listings, which we are now open up for. If projects are listening, we are going to have, you know, integrated listings. We have over, I think, 130 blockchains on our back end that we can integrate to right now. And obviously all EVM BSC compatible stuff, as well as native chains. And if you build your own on your own blockchain as well, we can integrate. So please fill out a listing form if you're interested, and we will get back to you and talk to you about that as well. But, you know, we're going to work with all our partners and all our new listings to have some very creative competitions and some governance type stuff for Mandala token holders. So it's we've added a lot of utility and we're really proud of this launch.
Yeah. It sounds like some good stuff. And really, that's really when you look back at the time we've been in a space, Joe. I mean, like, we're not just talking about exchanges, right? Any project that's thrived over the years, it's really been about community feedback. Governance has been a touchy one, but you've got to get it right. Like, you're not going to let the community vote on how business funds are going to be allocated, but you
No.
can allow them to curate what that user experience should look like, right? What they are proficient in, right? If I'm a user, I know what that experience I want, right? I'm not a lawyer like you, so I'm not going to go in and I wouldn't want to see governance where I got to vote on, okay, which regulatory practices we're going to implement. So, and that's really been kind of where I've seen it, and people get that misconception of, oh, whether it's community driven, governance, or the word DAOs has come into play a lot. It's like there's certain things that you can allow communities to vote on. There's other things that really should be led by those that are experts. And so that's sounds like what you're doing, which is really let them dictate, okay, what pairs do you want to see? What features do you want to see? And that the more you do that, I think the more you're going to see and ex see Mandala really, really thrive. Because I've always liked, what you guys have done. I've always been transparent about everything going on. And really just, I think this, Binance Cloud shutting down was probably a headache for you guys in the beginning, right?
Yeah, and I want to touch
Like a,
on
oh
the
crap.
yeah. Well, it wasn't an oh crap moment because we honestly, behind the scenes, were working on porting the exchange over for a while. And I'll get and it wasn't a sudden decision by them. They gave us some notice. They gave us about 6 months' notice, so we had a heads up. And we were like, okay, where do we go from here? We were planning on doing this anyway. This was going to be our last year with them. And we were trying to go independent. We had talked about it on previous podcasts, and we talked about it with our community. And the goal was, of course, for Mandala was to stand on its own 2 feet, like it's doing now. And this just kind of hastened that process a little bit. So we said, okay, as a team, got our heads together, and as a community, got our heads together. How do we go? Well, a community, I'd say our members, our equity members, and our team. And said, where do we go from here? Went through a lot of providers, voted on it, did the whole behind the scenes stuff that you have to do to move your company forward and build in a bear market, which obviously 2022 and part of 2023 was, no doubt. And yeah, I just want to touch on the governance thing that you brought up. It is very important to touch on that, and you're exactly right. There are certain things a community should have input in, and we've always listened to our community in terms, like I said, in terms of bugs, fixes, features, listings, things like that. Are relevant to the exchange and can bring a lot of people to our community, new trading groups, new communities of token communities, things like that. But you're right. I'm not going to leave regulatory policy and legal doctrine, especially with myself working in this industry for since 2015 as a lawyer. I'm not going to leave that to random community members who may want to see something else and may think crypto is still the Wild West or whatever they may be thinking, right? Yes, we're going to ruffle some feathers. Yes, for instance, there's a new KYC policy on our platform that is in line with the MiCA directives and the fifth AML directive, where it is a 1,000 euro deposit and withdrawal limit per day unless you KYC, which it's just what it is. All exchanges are going to have to do
That's
that by the
everywhere,
end of
really, just
2024.
about.
Yeah. And those who aren't doing it right now are just maximizing their benefit and are going to, probably disappoint some of their fans by the end of 2024 or users by the end of 2024 because they're going to have to do it or else be hit with huge fines and maybe shut down in certain countries or regions of the world. But yeah, the things that can be voted on and can have some direction and shaped by our user base, we of course want to engage our users because that we understand, the backbone of any company is your user base, and if you have to cater to them. So, bottom line, yeah, we always look to engage our users where we can.
Absolutely. And even that, I guess, I kind of guessed that move from Binance Cloud was kind of a oh crap moment. But you're right. I mean, there was you and I had talked prior, right? There's a lot of features. It was you were limited to spot markets. You were and even our discussions about implementing and integrating the FIO protocol into that, a lot of that was had limitations because of Binance Cloud. And so now you've got a lot of flexibility to add new features. add new trading pairs, new trading, really just, trading options. So yeah, futures and margin. I mean, those are ones that those of us that like to trade regularly, obviously we like to, be able to participate in futures and margins and not just spot. Spot's great for buy and hold, or I just want to take some profit.
But that's and we all got into this industry trading a long time ago, and we didn't just trade spot, right? I mean, we were all on, whether the platforms were legit or not, we were all on BitMEX trading our futures, doing our thing, watching Arthur Hayes manipulate markets on us. It was super fun. But at the same time, there is a certain risk profile for crypto traders that they want those margin, they want those futures pairs, and we're glad to be able to provide them now to our community and continue to add to the number of offerings that we have out there. I will say this is, this launch of our exchange, this release of our exchange, it's completed in the skeletal aspect, but we are going to keep adding features on, right? One of the hallmarks of a good project is that you never stop, you never become complacent. And that's something that we've not done. And that's something that we don't plan to do moving forward either. We do have other features that we're going to release. And, one of the things that we've decided to do, just so everybody knows, our community, is not do roadmaps with particular dates or anything like that anymore, and really just give our community surprise after surprise, with just like this exchange release was, and this version of the exchange was. We kept it very quiet. Our community kept bugging us for roadmap updates. We said, just hold on, be patient a little bit. And everyone's thrilled now, for with what we've put out, right? It's our biggest really upgrade slash release in the last couple of years, since really since Binance Cloud. So it's one of those things where we work quietly, but when we release stuff, we're going to release it with a big bang moving forward. So that's kind of
Makes
our
sense.
new policy.
Yeah, that makes sense. I've always said, I mean, roadmaps are really great for a product before it launches our company, right? We're building up, and this is the phases that we're going to release this. But ongoing development, I mean, it changes, it can pivot. New things can come up, and sometimes you may want to have that competitive edge when you're already active and working and just want to better release news. That makes sense. I mean, it's not just that roadmap timelines can be delayed, right? When they're like, okay, you said it would be here by then, but it's not just that, right? There's so many other aspects to it. It allows you to be
Development is
nimble, be able to pivot
complicated.
when needed.
Yeah, development's complicated. And if you miss a timeline that you put out there by a week in crypto, your community swallows you whole, right? We've all learned that. And for better or for
I've
worse,
seen that, yeah.
tech is hard. It's not easy, and it's not a straight line, right? Things malfunction after the 12th hour. Right, you can launch something and then it just doesn't work for whatever reason. Maybe it's not porting right over to a new UI. Maybe it worked in theory. Maybe it worked on test transactions. Maybe something just wallet infrastructure stops working. You never know. So we've made a commitment to continue to build, of course, as you've seen with this new release. But the commitment to keep that drive, keep our community happy, but keep it close to the vest as we move forward. You're right. You don't want to lose your competitive advantage, especially if it's something new that you're launching. And you're right. We are an exchange that's been around for 4 years now. We're not a product that hasn't launched. We don't need a roadmap to get up and running. This is really just to, enhance our features or add new features to the exchange is really what we're doing at this point.
Yep, absolutely. And that's, that's really, the other thing I was thinking, you may be developing something and then something happens in the market where you're like, okay, this is what we plan to do after this is now more the priority. Let's put this on the side. Let's do this. So yeah, you got to be able to adjust.
The crypto market, like we were talking about, changes every 5 minutes, right? So if somebody wants something, we drop it down in priority to number two or number three, and we move something else up, right? It's just, if something else is hot in those 6 months, maybe it's certain listings that we do. Maybe we just stop developing something we were developing and make sure these tokens are listed for our community to trade because we know that they want them. So just something, anything. It's a new blockchain infrastructure that people love. We never know what's going to happen.
Absolutely. So, Joe, man, it's been great talking, talking about Mandala. Exciting to see what you guys have coming out. I can't wait to get in there and test out the newly launched platform features and see what you have there. But for everybody that's listening, tell them where they can find out more about Mandala and follow what you guys are doing.
Sure. Go to trade.mandala.exchange. That's our homepage. It'll take you to the sign up for the new exchange. You do have to register an account to sign up and go scout the new exchange. It's just some of the geofencing restrictions. Sorry about that little ding over there. But yeah, you go right to our ecosystem. You don't have to deposit funds to look around. Just sign up. It takes 2 seconds. And if you like what you see, please come join us. It's very easy to onboard your crypto. Like I said, spot futures, margin trading, earning rewards, OTC desk, fiat on-ramp, off-ramp in the works. Just everything you can want from an exchange that is simple to use, easy to see. I really love the new layout, the new color schemes that we have. It's very user forward and user friendly. So please come check us out. We also have our Mandala Exchange Discord and Telegram groups if you have questions. We have community managers in there 24/7. And really the team's in there too. It's not uncommon to see me pop in there on a daily basis and answer some questions. If it's and our community knows, please don't over tag me. Sometimes you do it. But if you tag me on a legitimate question and it's something I can answer quickly, I'll of course do it. We're like that. We like to interact with our community quite often.
Awesome. And I can link to those from the main website, right?
Yep.
Awesome. So definitely everybody check them out. Follow them. Follow their socials as well. That way, as you if you decide to jump in and use Mandala Exchange, you can provide some feedback. Like, hey, I'd really love
Please.
this, or I'd like to see that. You can participate in that feedback. And I think that's what we really need to see. A lot of these exchanges, especially the larger ones, I think they've lost a lot of touch sometimes with their user base. And so it's good to have, find those places where you can get that feedback and create your best user experience, right? We've seen the narrative shift over the years where this was the hot exchange, that was a hot exchange, and I really think that we're going to see going forward is going to be the ones that listen to the community the most.
I think so, and it's. I was talking about this with the marketing team the other day. It's not about the flashy celebrity marketing anymore. It's about security, comfort, catering to your community, listening to those needs, and making sure that you're compliant and operating in the proper space, so your funds are always going to be safe, and you'll never get in trouble, right? We've never had any issues with funds, knock on wood, in the 4 years that we've been around, and we don't obviously plan to. And we've always had a community that's engaged and have healthy discussion around the exchange. So I think that's exactly right, Wayne. It is just that's how the industry is moving forward, and that's what we'll see. Just so I mention it one more time, so everybody's happy on our side, there is the 40% referral fee if you bring people in. So there's significant rewards, and then there are the earning rewards withholding Mandala tokens. And to participate in the governance, just so everybody knows, it's going to be holding 300,000 Mandala tokens, MDX tokens. Right now, it's pretty reasonable. It's priced at about a penny and a half to 2 cents, somewhere in there on the exchange. So you come on, and that's also the max trading discounts as well. So you come on, and comparatively to other exchanges where you have to hold a ton of BNB or a ton of KuCoin shares or whatever it may be, it's a much more affordable trading rate in terms of tokens that you need to hold for discounts. So there are some competitive advantages there for providing. We've also upgraded, just so you guys know, our spot exchange. We now have 300 pairs, 300 assets, I'm sorry, with over 1500 pairs. So it's a pretty wide spectrum of pairs that are trading now. So you can probably find your favorite tokens there.
Absolutely, absolutely. So hopefully to see Fio on there soon, right?
Absolutely. And yeah, we look forward to working with you guys as well. So.
Yeah, awesome. Cool. Well, Joe, man, it's been a pleasure having you on today, talking. Any final words? I mean, I know you just definitely want to make sure and emphasize that those referral fees can be pretty rewarding because it's based off of it's a percentage of trading fees, right?
Correct. Yeah, you're earning back 40%
Yeah,
of trading
so.
fees for the first couple months, first month or two, I believe, and then it drops to 20%, but it's still substantial if you bring in a bunch of people. So, yeah.
Yeah, or bring in some big traders, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. So, Joe, it's been a pleasure, man. Thanks for joining us today, and thanks everybody for listening, and we will catch you on the next episode. Take care, everybody.
Sounds good. Thanks, Wayne.